John chapter 20. Verse 29. We'll just, for the sake of time, read just this one verse. John 20, verse 29. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas. I'm glad Thomas has been hearing the voice of the Lord. Praise God. Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Praise God. I'm thankful we've seen the hand of God in such powerful ways, tremendous ways. Cancers being healed. Amen. Other diseases being taken care of. Provisions being made. The hand of the Lord displayed in an amazing way. Thank God. Talk about seeing is believing. I think the Lord has given us a tremendous amount of evidence. And thank God we can believe and trust Him. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Believing and seeing. Believing and seeing. Now, Jesus made the statement to Thomas, who we have come to call doubting Thomas, and because he's the one who heard the report after the resurrection. See, after the resurrection, they were having a hard time even believing what they saw, because they saw his suffering. They saw his death. They heard his cry on the cross, and the tomb was finality to them. Just as death that we face, the death of our loved ones, the death in catastrophes, the death in war, those are difficult times, very, very hard. And so the disciples, having come through that, were having trouble hearing the reports. Is he really alive? And when people came to Thomas and said, we've seen him, and he showed us the nail prints, and Thomas said, I want to see it. I want to put my finger in those wounds. And of course, the Lord accommodated him. Praise God. I'm thankful the Lord is able to give you an experience, give you a time in his presence, and you can know his power and blessing. The problem is there are so many other things, so many other voices, so many other interests and distractions that people don't take the time to seek the Lord and to be in his presence and to know his goodness. But Jesus nonetheless said, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. I thought about those in the scripture that the miracles were worked on some who were blind, and the man born blind in John chapter 9 is one of the examples. And now his condition was unique in that he had no visualization. Seeing was completely gone. He couldn't imagine things. He would feel the warmth of the sun. He would feel the raindrops. He would feel the breeze. He could hear the rustling of the leaves. All of those things. But he had no way to visualize, because he never had vision to begin with. And the Lord came on the scene. Praise God. And maybe it was a blessing he couldn't see when Jesus made clay after spitting on the ground. And maybe it was a blessing that he couldn't see the Lord cupping some of that mud in his hand and applying it to his eyes. And wondering, you know, no doubt he could hear really well, and he could feel really well, because all of those senses had been developed in spite of his sight, or in the lack of his sight He had all of those sensitivities. And then he heard the Lord say, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, was the pool of Siloam an easy landmark for him to find? Could he make his way very swiftly and safely to that place? Probably he had no reason to go there. Probably, and in his blind condition, he had to carefully make his way and try to memorize, because that's the way he got around, was memorizing this corner, that many steps, and this smell when you get to the marketplace, and this tall building that blocks the sun when you get to that corner, and so on. That's how he got around. But he went, he washed, and he came back seeing. How different was the trip coming back than the trip going? Praise God. I say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. I hope it's not just a song. I hope it's not just something that we sing to go with the chorus. But in our hearts, in our lives, in our being, we're saying, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Because when you say, yes, Lord, because when you step out in faith, because when you obey the Lord, there's no telling what blessing he can bring in your presence. There's so many things that he can reveal, so many things that he can provide, so many blessings that he can bring forth. When you say, yes, Lord, and walk in obedience to his word, thank God for the power that he's able to show. Praise God. Now, the man was seeing beyond just the physical sight. He was seeing spiritual realities and knowing the power of the Lord. The revelations that came to him, he said, a man called Jesus anointed my eyes. And then he said, he's a prophet. Then he denied the accusation that he was a sinner. No, he can't be a sinner. He's done such great things by the power of God. How can he be a sinner? And then finally, he saw the Lord and said, Lord, I believe. What a tremendous progression of revelation. What a wonderful move that God worked in his life. And the testimony that he had to offer and that he shared four times as they tried to talk him out of it. What a crazy, crazy situation. Have you had family members try to talk you out of what you got from God? If you had society to try to talk you out of, you got caught up in that gibberish, didn't you? You got caught up in that excitement, didn't you? That's not really a language. You're not talking in a language. Oh, yes. Thank God. The power of the Lord. The blessings of God. Amen. And the goodness of the Lord providing in a tremendous way. I can remember my first visit to Norvik, and I'm worshiping the Lord with the people in that house. And after the service, they asked me, do you know Inupiaq? I said, no, I don't know any Inupiaq. And they said, you were saying, thank you, Lord. You were saying, God is great. I didn't know that. Praise God. I'm just worshiping the Lord, talking in tongues. Amen. But God used that opportunity to show his power and how real he is and how great he is. Hallelujah. And nobody can talk me out of it. Amen. I'm thankful for the power of the Lord to do the work. They tried to talk him out of it. He's standing there seeing. And they knew he was the one who was born blind, but they're trying to minimize his testimony. He said, a man that is called Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes. He said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. I went and washed, and I received sight. I'm glad you can nail it down. I'm glad you can make it real plain. I'm glad it can be simple. What the Lord has done and the power that he has shown and the results that have come forth. Amen. Praise God. They asked his parents, was he born blind? Boy, even his parents were a bit frightened about the situation. He's of age. Ask him. instead of rejoicing, there was rejection. I'm just amazed at that. And he again sums it all up. This is a marvelous thing, he said. Since the world began, it has not been heard that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And they threw him out. Instead of rejoicing, instead of having him get up and testify again, instead of bringing him to the synagogue and saying, look, 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 he was born blind, but now he can see. We're seeing him and he's seeing us because of the power of God. That didn't happen. They cast him out. But he was comforted by Jesus. He was comforted by the King of Kings. Amen. Oh, I may have to say goodbye to some friends. And I certainly have to change to the places I used to go and the things I used to do. I don't do those things anymore. I'm not involved in that stuff anymore. But I'm glad I can be comforted by the Lord. I'm glad I can be strengthened by the Lord. I'm thankful I can be blessed by the Lord. Amen. Bartimaeus was a man who was blind. He was a beggar. He cried out for mercy from the Lord. Notice he's not asking for alms. He's not asking for whatever denomination of money that would be called a pence or any of those kinds of things. He cried out for mercy. He wouldn't be silent. He cried out even louder. And the Lord commanded that he be brought before him. Jesus comforted him. This is just the beginning. Jesus comforted him. And he cast away his garments and he rose and he came to Jesus. He requested and he received. Just like that. Oh my. That's the kind of God we serve today. I know that there are many who would try to qualify and would try to justify, would try to explain and try to bring out all of the different aspects of it. But it happened just that quick. And just that simply, I'm thankful that the Lord is able to step into our circumstances and without a whole bunch of explanation and without a whole bunch of justifying, he does a work in our lives and in our hearts, and we're able to see his power and his blessing. Praise God. The things that he wanted to see, and Bartimaeus probably had vision before he became blind, so he was able to visualize, he was able to imagine. What did he want to see? His wife, his children, his home place? What did he want to see? Jesus. Praise God. Amen. The important thing is to keep seeing Jesus. Not just a one-time experience, not just a one situation, but to keep seeing his power, to keep having his blessing in our lives. Amen. There were some blind people who needed a second touch from the Lord. They needed another time in his presence. They needed the Lord to reach out to them another time. In Bethsaida, they brought a blind man to him, and he asked the Lord for his healing. Jesus took the blind man by the hand. Aren't you glad you can feel his hand? Aren't you thankful you know he's that close to you? Many had done that to him before. They had led him along and said, okay, here's where you can buy some vegetables. And they led him along again. Here's where you can buy some meat. And they led him to the well. Here's where you can get some water. They were trying to teach him independence. They led him by the hand. Jesus was leading him by the hand so he could become dependent. Not independent. He could become dependent on the Lord and know that the Lord would be there to minister to him. Praise God. He led him out of town. That almost seems kind of mean. Let him out of town, away from what was familiar, away from what he knew as far as landmarks were concerned, where to turn, where to stop, what the intersection meant as far as what's on this side, what's on that side. And he's gone from that now. The Lord let him out of town because he wanted the man to trust him. Sometimes the Lord's going to lead you in situations that you're not familiar with. In fact, a lot of times you're going to be in that situation. You've not been there before. And you kind of wonder, how am I going to get out of this? How's the Lord going to step in? Praise God, you can have faith that the Lord is going to do the work. You heard Brother Farmer testify about how his situation with his job became critical, and how he just had to trust the Lord and see how God was going to work it out. And then he kind of chuckled himself and told me, well, I got the hunting season off. He missed a shift at the mine at Red Dog, but he got the hunting season off. Amen. Oh, we can see the Lord do the work that he desires to do. Amen. The Lord touched him again. He saw men as trees walking. That wasn't very clear vision. But the Lord touched him again. Thank God that there was a restoration. He could see clearly. He got that touch from the Lord and the blessing of God that came to him in a tremendous way. Oh, I'm thankful for the power of the Lord to do that work. Amen. And God's goodness to be revealed. Praise God. There was the enemy surrounding the city where Elisha was, and his servant saw the host of the enemy all around him, and he was so fearful and so afraid that they were going to be captured, that they were going to be tortured and eventually executed. But Elisha said, "Fear not." What in the world, Elisha? Can't you see the enemy? There's something to be afraid of. There's something to be frightened about. The enemy's all around us. We don't have any way of escape. Elisha says, "Fear not. They that be with us are more than they that be with them." And the servant looks at Elisha and looks at himself and looks at Elisha again and looks at all. What do you mean? But God opened his eyes, because Elisha prayed, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. Praise God. And then Elisha said, "Let them become blind. Let the enemy become blind." Praise God. They probably thought they could see victory. They thought that they could see capture. They thought they could see the elimination of the one who was thwarting their plans and defeating them. But the Lord smote them with blindness. And then Elisha prayed again, "Lord, open their eyes of these men that they may see." And it resulted in a victory for the Lord. Praise God. Amen. There are some who can see amazing things. In Luke 19, a short man named Zacchaeus saw his own success, saw his own abilities. He was chief among the publicans. That means he was rich. That means he had a lot of influence, power, money, political influence, all of those aspects that he could rejoice in, that he could treasure, that he could feel secure, but wasn't enough. He wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see the miracle worker. He wanted to see the one who could do something different for him. Praise God. So up the tree he went. A treed tax collector. Wouldn't that be great? All the tax collectors up the tree. Praise God. But Jesus saw him. That's what's more important. Jesus saw him. Saw his humility. Saw his desire. Saw his need. And called to Zacchaeus, "Come down." And the Lord spent time with him. Praise God. I'm thankful that the Lord is able to do that kind of work. Praise God. Now, seeing, what a treasure. All of us see to some degree. Some older eyes are a little bit weaker. That's just to remind us we've got a new body waiting for us. Praise God. Amen. We have aches and pains. We slow down a bit. And hearing impaired, sight impaired, and so on. I can still taste good things. I'm looking forward to that potluck. Praise God. But there are some who lost their sight. Samson, what a sad story. It should have been a story of incredible victory. Victory on and on and on. He saw physically, but he was blind spiritually. He could see strength. He could see overcoming. He could see destruction of the enemy. He could see victory for himself. But he was also attracted to things that would take him away from God. And he couldn't refuse. One preacher said he was a he-man. A he-man with a she weakness. That was his problem. But then he became blind physically. What a sad, again, a sad story. Blinded physically by his enemies. Blinded physically by those who would want to mock him and ridicule him and discredit his God. But because he was blind physically, he could see spiritually. And he put his trust in the one who was able to do that work. Amen. And thank God the Lord was there for him and provide in a special way. Amen. There are some times that our vision is blurred a bit. There are some times that we have trouble seeing because of the tears that trials bring. There are tears in our eyes because of hurt and because of pain, because of loss, because of grief, because of sorrow. There are tears in our eyes because of loved ones that have turned the wrong way and have gotten themselves into a captivity and a problem and so on. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. His vision became blurred because of the tears that he was crying. And he wept over Jerusalem and said, your opportunity, your day, your peace are hid now from your eyes. And then he told of the destruction of Jerusalem that would come. And sure enough, in A.D. 70, the Roman general Titus came and destroyed Jerusalem. And I pray, oh God, help us not to miss what you are trying to do. Help us not to miss the opportunities that you give us and the places that we can be and the power that can be displayed by your strength. Laodicea was a church that had the power of God. At one point, they understood the blessings of the Lord, and they came, however, to the place where they saw themselves as being rich and increased with goods and don't need a thing. We're good. Everything's fine. That's the way they saw themselves. But the Spirit saw them in a different way. The Spirit said, you're poor, you're blind, you're miserable, you're naked, and I'm standing at the door knocking. And if you'll just open the door, I will come in and sup with you and you with me. Amen. That repetition is there to help us to understand of the abundance that God wants to give us, the blessing of plenty that he wants to provide, the prosperity that he wants to bring forth. Thank God we can know that strength and that goodness and that power and the eternal values that the Lord would desire to put in our lives. Praise God. What a blessing to be able to see. Amen. Angels see you. Angels are dispatched to help you. We often don't see them. We're not aware of them. But they're ministering spirits that the Lord brings forth. I'm not familiar with all of that. I've heard of my brother-in-law suffering from cancer, and the Lord was letting him know it's going to be okay. He had to sit up in a chair because he couldn't lie down in the bed, the cancer on his jaw and his cheek and having trouble breathing and so on. So he sat up in the easy chair. And he awoke in the early morning hour. He only slept in snatches anyway. But at one point he woke up and he looked towards the dining room. And there was a huge man, tall, almost as tall as the ceiling. He didn't say anything, just looked at him as he's sitting there in the chair. And Ted is looking back at that tall man. And then all he did was stretch forth his arms in a welcoming gesture. You know, come to me, holding out his arms. It wasn't long that Ted entered into that heavenly realm. And again, I don't understand why the healing didn't happen, Brother Abbott. I don't know. There are people healed of cancer right here, right now. Why didn't it happen there? I don't know. But I know Ted is rejoicing in that heavenly realm. Praise God. Praise God. No trace of cancer. No problems, no difficulties, no pain, no tears, no sorrow, no suffering, no death. Because it's all taken away. Oh, I want to see that. I want to see that. Hallelujah. I want to be in the presence of God. I want to have that strength and that goodness. Amen. I see the angels there. But you know what the angels want to see? You know what the angels want to look into? Peter wrote about it. Peter, in his first letter, the first chapter, said, the angels desire to look into the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Praise God. Oh, the rejoicing and the blessing that we express as we're marching around in the church and we're just having a wonderful time in the presence of God. The angels would love to be right there walking with you and knowing the power of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. The angels would love to be able to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God give the utterance like you. The angels would love to be baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus and have that power in their lives as well. The angels desire to look into, amen, that wonderful experience. And thank God you and I know the power of that. Seeing and believing. I'm glad God gives us a powerful experience in His Spirit. I'm glad His healing is real, His provisions, His protection, the presence of the Lord, all of it so real and so positive. Praise God. Lady in her little cottage requested electricity to be installed. It was a long time ago. And they finally hooked up the wires and put on the meter and got electricity to her house. She was so excited, flipping the switch for the first time, lights going on and so on. The meter reader was a little bit puzzled because her electricity usage was not very high. In fact, it almost was minimal. He would go and read the meter month after month and come away shaking his head. Now, she's hardly using any electricity. What's going on? Finally, he knocked on the door. And he said, I've been reading your meter for the last few months after your electricity has been installed, and you're hardly using any electricity. Can you explain why? Oh, she said, I only flip on the lights so that I can light the candles. And I turn it off again. Is that how some of you use the power of God? Is that how some of you are believing Jesus? Just enough to get by. Just enough to do it yourself. Just enough to say, yeah, I saw it, but I turned it off real quick. God wants you to see and believe. He wants you to believe and to see. His power is so great. His strength is so wonderful. His deliverance is so complete. God does a good job when He brings a change to your life. Praise God, the power of His Word, a wonderful Word of the Lord. There are many who would say, oh, it's so old-fashioned, it's so outdated, it's so irrelevant, it doesn't fit in the 21st century. Oh, yes, it does. Oh, yes, it does. The power of God's Word, so wonderful. I'm thankful we can know it, we can hear it. Praise God, the next generation can receive it as well. The blessings of the Lord. These are written, John said, that you might believe And having believed, you can have life through his name. Amen. Thomas not only saw the resurrected Lord, he touched him. Powerful experience that God wants you to have. Believing him, seeing him, and the display of his power in amazing ways, and then being touched by him. Praise God. There were those who touched just the hem of his garment, believing that just that close, being that far, would be enough. And the Lord did a tremendous work. Praise God. I'm thankful the Lord is able to minister to you individually. He knows your name. He knows your situation. He knows your problems. He knows your questions. He knows your concerns. He knows everything. And he's saying, I want you to believe so that you can see my power. Stand with me now, please. Seeing in the natural is such a tremendous blessing. We can see the sunsets, we can see the sunrise, we can see the seasons change, we can see loved ones, we can see the little ones, we can see family members, we can see friends, we can celebrate together, all of these wonderful things. But seeing spiritually, seeing Jesus, the miracle worker, seeing Jesus, the Savior and deliverer of our soul, seeing Jesus, the captain of our salvation, seeing Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, praise God, opens up so many incredible things. We can see the miracles of cancer healed. See the miracles of joints being restored. And on and on it goes. On and on it goes. Of seeing the miraculous. Hearing AJ, the man from Wasilla, blind because he shot between the eyes in a drug deal gone bad, blind for 11 years, but the Lord touching him in an altar service, just like we're going to have here in a few minutes, and him hollering out loud, I can see, I can see. And to observe him walking around the campground looking at flowers, there's a flock of kids following him everywhere because they wanted to see if he could see. Because they saw him walking with his stick. They saw him being led around, other people carrying things for him and sitting him down in the cafeteria and all of that. They saw that, but now you can see him seeing for himself. That's what the Lord does. Praise God. But the blessing that was so great in AJ's life is he had the experience. He saw the Lord and the power of his name and the power of his spirit. Praise God. That's what was most important. And so I'd like for you to come and pray here for a little bit. We've got the vow ceremony and our vows being renewed and we got the potluck. We got all kinds of wonderful things coming up here. But I'd like for you to come and be in the presence of the Lord here for just a few minutes. Come and stand together. That unity that Thomas was talking about. That unity that we can believe God together. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.